Is everybody ready to dive in this morning? Let's pray. Let's pray. This is going to be a great day. It's going to be a great year. How many people believe the best is yet to come? How many people believe in your spirit the best is yet to come? I hope so. How about over here? Do you guys believe the best is yet to come? Yes. All right. Father, we just thank you that in Christ, the best is yet to come. Regardless of what we're facing today, there may be great victories and things that we're totally excited about, or there might be despair, there might be heartache, there might be brokenness. But I believe that if we have Christ on the throne of our hearts, the best is yet to come. And Father, we just entrust this year to you at the beginning. I think of Proverbs, Proverbs says it this way. Psalms 37 says it this way. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. So Lord, we stand at the beginning of the year, and we commit this year to you as individuals, families, as a church. We commit everything to you, and we trust you for help. And Lord, we just thank you that you promised to be with us. Lord, we give you this time. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, I want to encourage you today. There's a scribble sheet for taking notes in front of you in the pew rack in front of you. You're probably going to want to write some things down this morning that are going to be very important for you to write down, because today is the 52nd and final Sunday of 2019. Is that exciting or what? Come on, guys. I know it's cloudy outside. I know there's some people where cloudiness brings you down, but let's rise above the clouds. Amen. How many people are excited for this year to come to an end and a new year to begin? Is anybody excited for 2020? Okay. I want to let you know, I'm super excited for 2020, and there's two reasons. Reason number one is this shirt is going in the garbage after today. Okay. Today is the last day of wearing this shirt. You'll never see it again. You'll never see it again. I have all these nice dress shirts that are ready to come back into circulation. And Heather said, you need to stop making those type of commitments. So I'm taking the wisdom of my wife, and I'll never say those type of things again. Guys, how many know we need to listen to our wives? Yes, okay. Some of you are like, yes, Steve, good way to raise your hand. You're a good man. I saw her helping you there, so that's awesome. The second reason why I'm excited for this year to come to an end is because I'm even more excited for 2020. I'm super excited for 2020. And one of the reasons why I'm super excited for 2020 because I think it was an early November morning when I was having one of those nights where it was challenging to sleep. And those kind of happen when you hit up in your 50s. Is that right, guys? You kind of have those. You think you would sleep more, but you sleep less. And it was one of those mornings where I was kind of just laying there thinking, should I get up or should I try to fall back asleep? How many people have played that game before? Should I get up or should I fall back asleep? And it was during that time I believe that God dropped a word in my heart, not only for us as a church, but for me as a person. And the word that God dropped into my heart for this year is the word intentional. Can we all say that together? Intentional. And I believe that's my word for me this year, for us as a church this year. That word means that we do what we do on purpose. We live our life with purpose. Another word is that we do things deliberately. We do things on purpose. We're deliberate about what we do, okay? So I believe that God wants that to be my word for my personal life, that I'm going to be a person who's very intentional about what I'm doing. I'm actually even getting together with two other guys and reading a book called Living Intentionally. So we're going all the way this year with this word. But I also believe that this is a word that God wants for us as a church. And I hope you're super excited that God wants us to be a church that wants to be intentional in 2020. And if you were here 2 or 3 weeks ago, I mentioned that there's one thing that God really laid on my heart for us to be intentional about, and that is that we need to be a church that's intentional about investing in eternity. How many were here for that week? I think it was like 3 weeks ago where we talked about investing in eternity. And the thing that's crazy about this world is that there's a whole bunch of stuff. There's a lot going on planet Earth. But at the end of the day, at the end of the time, there's only two things that are eternal. Two things in God's world that are eternal. Number one is God's word is eternal. Does everybody believe that this morning? The truth of God's word is eternal. But there's a second thing that's eternal, and that is people. Every person is eternal. I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about every person is made up of body, soul, and spirit. See, our body is temporary. It will pass away. But there's a part of you, the real you, is your soul. That's the real you. You're a soul with a body. The primary you is a soul, and your soul's going to live forever. It's going to be eternal, okay? So what I'm going to do in 2020 is I'm going to do my very best. And if you ever pray for me as a pastor, I'm not sure if you do. If you would, that would be great. But one of my goals this year is to be to do my very best to stay on this path of being intentional. Because what I want us to do as a church this year is I want us to be a church that we're going to go deeper into God's word. We're going to go deeper into God's word. Thus is why we're giving you this reading schedule. Just one example. We want you on your personal time, not just in church, but in your personal time. I want to challenge you. I want to double dog dare you to say, God, I'm going to do my best to get in your word this year. I'm going to just be somebody who spends time in the word. I want to challenge you with that. Please, let's do this together. Another thing we plan on doing is we're going to reemphasize what we call spiritual formation class. It used to be called Sunday school. And sometime in the month of January, we're going to reinstate that. And we're going to start on 8:30 on Sunday mornings till about 9:15, where we're going to do Bible studies. We're going to study books of the Bible together. And I think we're going to start, I'm not sure the exact date, but we're going to look into the book of Mark. And we're going to do a study through the book of Mark together with the help of Francis Chan. It's going to be just a wonderful time. So these are just ways where we're going to be intentional. We're going to get after these things. We're encouraging you to join us on this journey together. But we're also going to be a church that's very intentional about investing in people. Because if you've been here for any amount of time, you know that our mission, what is a mission? A mission is, why does the church exist? I want us to look at our mission as a church, because our mission is people-centered. Read it with me, or just follow along with me. First of all, it says our mission is to proclaim Jesus. See, we're a church that we want to tell people about Jesus. And you say, Mike, why are we so serious about this? We're so serious about this because we believe, according to Scripture, that the only way that people can have peace with God, the Creator, is through Jesus Christ. Does everybody believe that this morning? I want you to think about what I just said. The only way that people can have peace with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And people try all different things to have peace with God. That's called religion. But Christianity is that God has made a way through His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can have peace with God through Jesus. And that's why we're so adamant about saying, folks, you need to know Jesus. We want you to know Jesus. He's the greatest, okay? And then the second part of the mission is also about people, and that is that we want to lead people into a growing relationship with Christ, with Jesus, okay? So here's the deal, guys. Everybody listen carefully. It's great that people come to Christ. That is awesome. But how many people know that's just the beginning? Just like your physical birthday was just the beginning for your life, your spiritual birthday that Jesus would call being born again is just the beginning for what God has for you. Does everybody understand that? God's intention is for you to say yes to Christ, but that's just the launching pad for this great life where God wants to say, hey, I want you to continue to grow in relationship with my Son. We can also call that discipleship. We could also call that sanctification, that we're not to stay the same as the day we said yes to Jesus, but we're supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be maturing in our walk with Christ, okay? So what I want to do this morning with our time remaining is very simple. I want to give to you today three challenges, and this is why we're asking you to get out a piece of paper for three challenges, and I want you to write these down. And these three challenges are going to help you to continue to grow in your relationship with Christ as we go through 2020. Here's what would be a big heartbreaker for me. A big heartbreaker for me in my personal life. A big heartbreaker for me for you would be that you're the same person sitting here a year from today. I don't think it's God's will at all for any of us to remain the same that we are today. I really believe that God has you at a place today, and thank God for that place. Thank God for His grace. Is everybody excited for grace? But I believe with all my heart that there's a new place. There's a place of growth that God wants you to. There's a journey that He has you on, and He doesn't want you to get stuck. And I want to speak to everybody very clearly and very boldly today, right now. Don't get stuck. Are you hearing me this morning? I was going to have you say to your neighbor, don't get stuck, but that would be kind of awkward, so I won't, but I'm going to tell you, don't get stuck. Does everybody hear me this morning? Don't get stuck. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you some ways that you can continue to, three challenges. These are things that you can do that are going to help you get unstuck and continue to grow in your relationship with Jesus, because that's what he has. But before we do this, before we share with you the how, I need to share with you the why. Because there's a lot of people that sit in churches and they think, well, why do I need to grow in Jesus? I mean, I already said yes to him. I repented of my sins. I turned from sin, and I'm on my way to heaven, and heaven's sure a lot better than hell. And there's a lot of people that are just content with that, and I'm here today to tell you that God has more for you. Does everybody hear me this morning? God has more for you. I'm thankful for these guys. They're fired up this morning. How about over here? God has more for you. Go get some coffee to get fired up. If you got to walk out and get coffee, let's go, okay? So here we go. Because we got to know the why. Why? Mike, why do I need to continue to grow? It might be surprising to you, but Jesus addressed the why. He addressed what's going to happen when you continue to grow in a powerful portion of scripture in the book of John chapter 15. And if you know your Bible, John 15 verses 1 through 18, it's this whole conversation Jesus has about abiding, about staying in relationship with him. He's talking about it's just not something you start, it's something that you continue. Abide means you stay close, you remain, you grow. And I want to look at the primary verse in that text. And Jesus says this, he says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. So he's saying, hey, we're in this together, but I'm the source. He says, those who remain in me and I in them, well, everybody read this part together. They will produce much fruit. Let's read that last part together again. Will produce much fruit. I want to let you know that that's God's desire for your life, is he wants you to produce fruit. Jesus goes on to say several times in this text, you know how it brings glory to God? You know how your life can bring glory to God? By producing fruit. By producing fruit that remains. But here's the deal. What is fruit? He's not talking about apples and oranges here. And you're like, no kidding, Mike. Well, I just want to make sure everybody knows that, okay? What's he talking about? Somebody said it very well as I was studying this week. Somebody defined fruit simply as positive results. So what's the deal? When we are in this continual relationship with Christ, as we're growing in that relationship with Christ, what happens is positive results begin to be produced in your life. And then if you were to read the text and study the text, Jesus goes on to share what some of those results will be. And I just want to highlight those real quick. Some of the results will be of growing in Jesus is there's answered prayer. There's confidence in your prayer. How many people want to experience more answers in your prayer? Thank God one person wants to experience answers in your prayer. How many people over here, you want to experience answers in your prayer, have confidence? Listen to what Jesus says. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted for you. He's saying if we're in this relationship and we're drawing closer together, there's a greater confidence. That's why you want to get closer. Answered prayer. Here's another one. This is big. Everybody say joy. How many people want more joy? I think it's time for Christians to get more joy. Our PR in public is not really good. Why? Because we don't have joy. I think the greatest PR for the kingdom of God is people walking around with joy. Amen? And how many people know that joy and happiness are really different? Happiness is based upon circumstances, happenings. I'm happy when my kids are doing well and behaving, and I'm happy when my wife and I are getting together. I'm happy when my kids are bringing home straight A's and I'm getting promotions at work. I'm happy. But how many people know joy is not based upon happenings? Joy is, it's because you have this abiding relationship with Christ. Amen? How many people want more joy? I think we could all use a little more joy. So let's fake a little joy right now. Everybody give me your best smile. Everybody smile, everyone. By the way, listen to what Jesus says in John 15, our text. He said, I've told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. He says, yes, your joy will overflow. That's what happens when we're in a growing relationship with Christ. your joy overflows. And one other one, he says, here's a result, love. There's going to be this fruit of love. And then if you go on to other passages, you'll see there's going to be peace. There's going to be goodness. There's going to be kindness. These are all the results of when we're in a growing relationship with Christ. Here's the way I interpret it in the Mike Bechtold Interpretational Bible. This is how I interpret it, is this. Life is better with Jesus. That's why you want to get closer to Jesus, because life is better with Jesus. So regardless of where you're at today, you may be on the mountaintop where everything's going great. I want to let you know that even there, life is better with Jesus. You may be in a very difficult spot, and it hurts, and you've been there for a long time. I want to tell you something loud and clear. Life is better with Jesus. So whatever your station of life, wherever you're camped out right now in life, whatever season you're in life, I want to let you know Jesus is saying, hey, come to me. Let's be in relationship. Let's be in this growing relationship, because wherever you're at in life, I'm going to make it better, because that's who I am. I'm Jesus. Amen? So I want to encourage you. That's the why you want to continue to grow, is because life just seems to work out better with Jesus. That's how God created us, to be in relationship with him. So that's the why. Now what I want to do is I want to talk about how can we be growing? How can each one of us grow in 2020? And I hope this is your heart, that you say, I don't want to stay here. I'm sick of being here. I've been here for too long. And you're like, I almost want to give up on Jesus. It just doesn't seem to be working. I want to move forward. Well, I'm going to give you some ideas, three challenges of the day of things you can do to move forward, things that all of us, these are very doable. So let's look at these together, three challenges. Number one, I want to challenge you, write this down first of all. Challenge number one, find a spiritual discipline this year to start. What is a spiritual discipline? A spiritual discipline is you have this discipline. For example, one would be Bible reading. One would be prayer. It could be meditation. It could be a lot of things. But a spiritual discipline is a discipline that you incorporate in your life. And as a result, there's spiritual growth that takes place. So I'm challenging you, let's find a spiritual discipline to start. Because here's the misconception many people have, and that is that spiritual growth, the big steps of spiritual growth, there's these big things that happen. There's these big events that if I go to a camp, if I go to a retreat, if I go to a conference, these are the big things. And I'm not downplaying those things. Those are great catalysts. But these things are great. But how many people know these things aren't sustainable? How many people know you can't live at camp? This side's getting it here. Have you guys ever been to camp over here? You can't live at camp. Has everybody got that this morning? You can't live at camp. You got to come home. People come home from camp and they are fired up. They're ready to take hell and run into hell and shout Jesus. You know what I mean? They're pumped. But how many people know it's not the big things, it's the small things? Are you with me this morning? It's the small things that no one sees that creates the outcomes that we want to see. It's the spiritual disciplines that are going to build the bridge from where I'm at today to where I want to be tomorrow. I want you to hear this. And yes, disciplines are challenging and they're hard. Just like if you have a discipline to work out, it's not easy. It takes effort. It's painful. But I want to let you know, people who are growing in Christ are people who have chosen the pain of discipline over the pain of regret. I don't want any of you to be sitting here the same way next year at the end of 2020, the same way you are today. I hope your faith, if your faith is a 2, I hope next year at this time it's a 4. I hope if your faith's a 6 right now, that next year at this time it's at least a 7 or 8. I hope that you're not the same person next year sitting in this room, or you may not be sitting here because you gave up. I want you to say, hey, I'm going forward this year. I'm moving forward, and it might be as simple as saying, you know what? I need to adopt a spiritual discipline in my life. So let me ask you a question. Everyone listening, what discipline do you need to start? Write that down. What discipline do I need to start? Let me share an example of a discipline you may need to start. You may need to start the discipline of reading God's word every day. You may need the discipline of saying, I'm going to be a person of prayer this year. I'm going to participate in the week of prayer. I'm afraid. I don't want to do it. That's out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to do it. Yours may be, I'm going to share my faith with other people this year. I'm terrified. I've never done that. It makes me sick to my stomach. What is a discipline that you can start this year that's going to help you grow in your relationship with Christ? We heard an amazing video teaching in men's ministry just about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and The speaker talked about maybe the discipline you need to start is saying, God, I'm going to put you first in my life. God, I'm going to put you first in my life. This year, you're number one. And we all know that principle in our money. It's called tithing. And in tithing, we say, God, we believe that everything we have is yours, and we just give back to you 10% and say, God, it's a heart issue, not a money issue. But in my giving of 10%, my first 10 is saying, God, I trust you. How many people know you can trust God with your money? About four people. That's pretty impressive. How many people know you can trust God with your money? Amen. But tithing is bigger than that. In this teaching we heard in men's ministry, tithing is saying, God, I want to give you the first of my week. What would it look like this year in 2020? You say, you know what? Whatever comes our way, we are going to make church the priority this year. We're going to be there Sunday morning. We are going to prioritize coming into the house of God as a family. I'm going to tell you this right off. I'm going to be very transparent this morning. When you make God first, his blessings follow. When you show your kids that you're serious about, we're going to make the house of God a priority, the blessings of God will follow. So God, I'm going to put you first in my week. Here's another one. God, I'm going to put you first in my day. God, I'm going to give you the first clock like 10, 15 minutes earlier than usual. And God, I'm going to read along in the Bible reading plan with the church. Folks, when we put these little principles into place, that's nothing really big and gigantic. It's not camp. It's not a retreat. But when you begin to do these little things, you find a discipline to start. And you say, for the next 365 days, I'm going to do these things. I want to let you know you're going to go from where you're at today to a new place. So you got to determine, do I want that new place? And if you do, you got to find a discipline to start. Let's move on to one other one real quick. Challenge number two is you may need to find, everybody read that together, just make sure you're still awake. Find the courage to stop. Everybody read that together one more time. Find the courage to stop. What am I saying, find the courage to stop? Stop what? You may need to stop anything that is preventing you from growing. Let me say this again. There may be something in your life that you know you need to stop because you know that it's hindering you from growing in your relationship with Jesus. You need to say to yourself, I'm done. No more. I'm starting fresh and anew in a couple days. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm done. I'm more serious about wanting to grow with Christ and get closer to him and experience joy and experience his fullness. I want that more than what I have right now. I'm done with that thing that's been destroying my life. I'm done. And it may be a sin. Sin is simply, I'm defining as a violation of a direct commandment of God. You know there's a sin in your life that you're directly disobeying God. And I could come up with a list and I could throw out, this may be it, this may be it, this may be it, this may be it. But I'm not going to do that because I believe that you know what it is that's keeping you from going to that next place with God. And there's times where you just need to say, I'm done. God, I'm no longer going to tell lies. God, I'm no longer going to be you fill in the blank. I'm cutting it out of my life. I want you more than I want where I'm at. It might be a conviction. What's a conviction? A conviction is something that we don't get absolute direction about in the Bible, but you know that the Holy Spirit's telling you, you need to stop. You need to get that out of your life. For me, several years ago, it was backing off of social media. For me, several years ago, it was saying goodbye to Facebook. For me, it was those were the things that were starting to pollute my soul and holding me back. And now I'm just saying no, God. And I'm saying no to those things because I want to say yes to you. For me right now, I could just tell you right now, one of the things God's been dealing with me is my self-talk. Things that I would never say to other people, but I say to myself, about myself and about other people. And God's saying, if you're serious about growing, Mike, you got to shut your mouth. You got to quit being negative. And Mike, everything you say needs to be positive. And I feel God's Spirit saying, Mike, if you're going to grow, if you're going to go forward with me, if you're going to experience all that I have for you, these are the things in your life that need to stop. Some are going to be absolute sin. Some are going to be convictions. But we're going to need the courage to stop them because we want what God has for us more than we want to stay stuck. It may be your thoughts. There may be thoughts you're saying, I need to stop thinking that way. I need to get rid of, like Joyce Myers would say, I need to get rid of the stinking thinking. Some of you need to stop thinking the way you're thinking today. There's this thought processes in your life that aren't lining up with Scripture. It may be in your words. It may be words you're speaking out loud to people. It may be words like, for me, it was just self-talk words. Because I find out I talk more to myself than I do anybody else. It might be your actions, but there's something in your life. I'm saying if you're going to move forward, if you're going to grow in 2020, there may be something you need to find the courage to say, today I draw the line in the sand. Today I say no to this. I'm done with that. And Holy Spirit, will you help me? Will you give me the strength? May you give me the victory to be able to stop this thing in my life. And I think there's people in this room, you're clear. The Holy Spirit right now is speaking to people. There's conviction going on right now in people's life, and you know what it is. And you need to say, I'm done. Are you hearing me? It might be something as big as an extramarital affair. It might be something as small as you're speaking slander over people. It might be you're complaining and you're murmuring all the time. That didn't go well with the children of Israel in the desert. And God's saying, you know what? You need to get rid of that out of your life. Because if you stay here, you're going to get stuck here. And some of us are stuck. And God says, I have so much more for you. Will you go on this journey with me? And will you stop something? And here's the third one, because I want to end right on time this morning. And this is so big. They're all big. But I think this one's so dear to my heart. One challenge for you to grow this year is you need to find a relationship to initiate. I want you to listen very carefully. Our relationships matter. Is everybody hearing me? Our relationships matter. If you want to change who you are, you may need to change who you're with. Can I say that one more time? If you want to change who you are today, you may have to change who you're with. Until I hear something over here, I'm going to say it one more time. If you want to change who you are, you might have to change who you're with. When we were dating, Heather would say, you must have been hanging out with so-and-so. And I'd say, how do you know that? She'd say, because you're being really negative today. And every time she said that, it was like, oh, you're so right. I was hanging out with this. Actually, the guy was my best man in my wedding. But she always knew, because when I hung out with him, how many people know the spirit of other people gets on you? And if I'm going to grow in 2020, there might be some initiation of some new relationships. See, we need to quit hanging out with people who are going to allow us to stay the same. Thank you, Nolan. We need to stop hanging out with people who are going to allow us to remain the same way. I don't need to be hanging out with people and say, yeah, Mike, it's okay if you're negative. We're all negative. Well, that doesn't do me any good. I need to hang out with some people that don't allow me to stay the same. That when I get negative, they're like, Mike, that's pollution, bro. Mike, you're killing yourself. And I think we all need people in our life that are bold enough to speak life, to speak truth, to say the things that may hurt, but they're saying it with the right spirit. So I'm saying this year, don't just respond to relationships. You may need to initiate some relationships. I want to double dog dare you. I want to challenge you to say, this is the year I'm going to go out and I'm going to look for somebody. I'm going to be intentional about finding a relationship that person is going to help me grow closer to the Lord. I'm going to seek out that person. I'm going to ask that person, hey, can we go out and spend an hour together once a week? I want to challenge you this year, don't stay in the rut of your friendships that allow you just to be you. But go out and find some people who are going to say, you know what, there's more in you. Christ has more for you. And God has been putting these people into my life. In this year, at the end of this year, God is putting one specific person in my life that when I'm with him, it's almost like uncomfortable, but I need it. Because he's like this guy that's like, Mike, you know what I mean? Does anybody have a friend like that, by the way? I hope you do. So I want you to reach out to someone who stretches you. I want you to reach out to somebody who pushes you. And I want you to reach out to somebody that even challenges you. Get with somebody that's going to take you to a place, because you never know. You may be one relationship away from someone who changes the course of your direction, your destiny. And I want to challenge you today, find a relationship to initiate. So let me ask you this. What relationship do you need to initiate this year? Find a person. I know there was people gathered even this morning. You're finding people to get together with. I know there's people, ladies in our church that are getting together. They're finding people to be with. I know there's men's ministry. Our leadership team has gone to a different level. We're finding people to be with. Folks, I want to let you know, I want to make an open confession to you. I don't want to be the same me that I've always been. I need people in my life. I need people that are going to pull the gold out of who I am and challenge me And sometimes it's very uncomfortable, and sometimes it's almost borderline like, oh, I'd rather not. But man, afterwards, it's so good. So let me just, in responding, let's review three challenges for 2020. Find a spiritual discipline to start. This is the thing, I'm going to get into the Bible. I'm going to get into reading. I'm going to get into just meditating in God's presence. I'm going to get into whatever it is. I'm going to put God first. Number two, find the courage to stop. What is the thing you need to stop? It may be sin. It may be a conviction. What is the thing you need to stop? The thing that's keeping you, you know what it is. And I guarantee, I really believe that with my heart. You know what it is right now this morning. You know what it is. Stop. We do. And then number three, I want to encourage you today to grow. Find a relationship that you're going to initiate. Find somebody that's going to take, maybe right now in your walk with Christ, you're a four. Go out and look for a seven. Look for somebody that's going to say, you know what? I've been where you are. I know how to get you to the next place. Somebody's going to take time to invest, disciple, to show you who you can be in Christ. And those are my challenges for this year. And here's the deal. Will you accept the challenge? Because this tape will self-destruct in 30 seconds. But I'm really serious. I don't want any of us to be in this same place spiritually next year that we are today. Amen. I want us all to go to a greater place and to experience more the fullness of who God, what God has for us. Amen? So can we bow our heads in prayer this morning? How many people know what the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing. Doing the same thing and expecting different results. That's so true in so many areas of our life. And it's certainly true in your relationship with Christ. I'm going to do the same things. And you wonder why your faith is getting cold, and you wonder why your faith seems like it's just not what somebody else's is. Could it be because that other person's made some serious investments? So Holy Spirit, I just pray you'd speak to our hearts. May you speak to our hearts. We're here to turn the calendar in our life to a new year. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to initiate some these challenges in our lives. And Lord, I just pray for your help. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said,